This week on The Fitness Movement, I'm going to break down a full week of programming from Lumber Capital Athletics, the affiliate which I co-own, and we're going to go into specifics of workouts, what they are, and what my intention behind them was as I was actually writing those. So let's dive in. The Fitness Movement is brought to you by Zorg Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zorgfitness.com. So as I said, I want to go into a full week of our programming. However, first, I think it would be helpful and necessary to have a little bit of background information as to where we're at in our current cycle. So our priorities, as they currently sit, this is in March is where I'm actually pulling this week from, and it's during the CrossFit Open. So we started the cycle just before the CrossFit Open, but knowing that is going to be leading us up into the Open and through the Open. So a few things. First was working on our strength stuff. In this cycle, it was hinging and squatting strength, and we've done lots of different variations of things. We're going to make sure we're touching on everything throughout the week, but the main things that we're trying to drive up during the cycle is hinging and squatting strength. So we go through a deadlift progression, go through a back squat progression. And then our third sort of highest priority would be exposures of open style testers, knowing that we're going to have the CrossFit Open in the second half of the cycle, and actually during the week that I'm actually laying out for you guys is when we test 24.2. Up to this point, we have done more things during this time of year that are lending itself to open style workouts, preparing our population, our class, you know, average class member, let's call it, for at least being able to handle open style tests. And to, you know, obviously, if you're doing them and wanting to handle them, you want to perform at your best as well. Even if you're someone who's not uber competitive, you still want to be at your best. So those are like our big things, hinging and squatting strength and exposures to open style testers. And then basically, you know, in the way that I think about programming for an affiliate is like you really only get a few things that you can really drive up in a cycle. 2 to 3 priorities that are like outside of the things that you're going to have maintenance doses of everything else, right? So you have to be preserving enough freedom in the template or the weekly structure of, you know, how you're programming the workouts that allows for CrossFit to still be done, right? Because that's what people are signing up for when they come to a CrossFit gym. So for us, and as I think about writing our affiliate programming, one of the things that's really important to me is that people feel like they're having fun, they're getting variety in the week, and they're not just going through, you know, 5 different linear progressions Monday through Friday when they come. That keeps things fresh. It keeps things a lot more engaging for them. But then additionally, it allows them to just have a little bit more spice throughout their week and something that most people enjoy. So not running a ton of linear progressions in my experience has been very helpful and allows athletes to be more adherent and just be a little bit more engaged and less, frankly, bored with the programming. For competitive athletes, if you're really trying to drive up particular metrics, you're going to have to do a lot more linear progressions or a lot more just like boring work in general. But if you're not competitive, one of the biggest priorities then becomes how much can you actually enjoy it, right? And what is your consistency like as you do that? So those are one of the big reasons why I kind of pushed to have a little bit less linear progressions, but still not like just CrossFit chaos that's like impossible to try to structure if you do it that way. Not to say that that's wrong necessarily, just not the way that I go about things. So anyway, that's our background, the actual layout of the week. Monday was that deadlift progression that I talked about. And even that progression wasn't linear where it was like, you know, 5x5, you know, 6x4, 7x3, 8x2, build to a heavy single. We did have, again, it was fairly linear, but it wasn't exactly like that, right? Where there would be a little bit more undulation week over week where people, yes, they realize that they're probably doing deadlifts every Monday, but the way that it's structured probably is a little bit more varied than that. And then that same day we had an MGW Metcon. So that was really the only specifics I had around it was that involved monostructural gymnastics and weightlifting. So something where the person's manipulating their body weight in gymnastics work, something where someone's manipulating external load in weightlifting, and then finally monostructural where someone's either getting onto a machine or doing something that is cyclical in nature where it could be like, you know, jump ropes or shuttle runs or that sort of thing. So that was Monday. Tuesday was either snatch or jerk strength work, and that varied quite a bit in formats. And I basically alternated weeks in this cycle. So 6 week cycle, that's what we're doing for 2024. Found that to be a good length, where eight just tended to be long enough where if you are staying in the same priorities every single week, that it just kind of got monotonous, and you probably need at least a minimum four to really start to see good adaptation. So that's been a good frequency. I think about 6 weeks is something that we'll stick with. And basically that means that we're going to get three touches of snatch, three touches of jerk strength throughout that cycle. And then again, obviously you're probably going to see something along the lines of barbell cycling at some point during the week, probably most weeks. Okay. So Tuesday, jerk or snatch strength work, or more so technique work. And then after that was an interval featuring hanging gymnastics and a barbell in some capacity. However, I did have a note with that barbell movement, trying to limit the squat volume, knowing that tomorrow you're going to be doing heavy squatting. So as I said, Wednesday is going to be back squat progression, and then a Metcon featuring leg occlusion, meaning that someone's basically getting a pump in their legs, or they're having higher tension work that's performed, which is sort of like supplemental strength endurance work for the back squat stuff that we're already doing. And it's also necessary qualities to have as we start to think about things like the CrossFit Open. Thursday is a lower day here at the gym, meaning that we're doing less things that are really biasing eccentric movements, keeping people fresher, doing things that are more cyclical and often machine-based, again, to just lower the eccentric loading, have things be a little bit more aerobic, sustainable. And then overall, just really the goal of those sessions is for people to, even if they feel like they got a workout in, to have them leaving feeling like they were better, in a better place than when they came in, right? Which isn't always the case across the workouts. Often people feel really foggy and not great afterwards, frankly. Whereas the goal here is to have them walking out and feeling fresh, feeling re-energized, feeling ready to go for the rest of the week. And one of the things that we've been doing here since we opened was some elongated exhale breathing, just like a follow-along breath protocol, typically trying to get that in once a week. So this cycle, that was on Thursday as well. And then Friday was Friday Night Lights when we actually did the open. So that was sort of the second half of this cycle. The first half of the cycle was open style testers that were mimicking those sorts of environments. So riding things that were either old CrossFit open workouts or things that were in that same vein, that very like more so lighter weights, higher turnover, where the rate or cycle speed is going to stay elevated for maybe 10 to 18 minutes for a lot of those. Okay. So a lot more of that sort of thing. And then Saturday is always a partner workout, and this cycle is no different. The only thing I really try to pay attention to is what do we do on Friday, since Thursday was a lower day. What do we do on Friday is the one thing I have to pay attention to. Just try to limit the repeat exposures of same movements into Saturday, which is pretty easy to do. And there you have it. That's the outline of the week. One of the additional things I included in our programming is vegetables. Vegetables are things like joint health, right? Stuff that's pretty boring, not super exciting, but if you do more of it, it will typically lend itself to you staying healthy and ultimately like moving better and feeling good. So here are vegetables for the week. At any point in the week, accumulate as you see fit, 40 banded external rotations per arm, then 40 banded external rotations with your elbow at your side for each arm. So basically going from an abducted position to the elbow by the side, as it says, 40 of each of those, and then 40 seconds of a single arm high plank hold per side. So basically you're in like a push position with one arm, and then 40 second side plank per arm. So pretty simple, it's pretty straightforward, wouldn't take a lot of time, maybe 15 minutes or so to get through all of that work. And over on Lumber Capital Athletics YouTube page, I've actually gone over vegetables before, how I write them, the purpose of them, and a whole bunch of examples. So be sure to check out that video. I will link to it. All right, now what we've been waiting for, let's actually get into the programming itself. Monday, every 2.5 minutes times 5 sets, 6 deadlifts, building across, ending heavy. So this is the type of language I use a lot. And almost every single time I write strength work in class, it's on a clock. Because A, I write the class lesson plans, and this allows me to actually know how long the strength work is going to take. Whereas if you just let people go and like let the reins loose, there are going to be people who rush through all their sets and they are done way too early. And we have people who are taking way too long in between their sets relative to the time that we have for something like class. So this keeps everybody on the schedule that I actually want them to have. And that also allows me to dictate work rest ratios throughout a cycle like this. So almost always on every 2:30 times 5 sets or something along those lines in terms of language, and then the work that's actually being done, in this case, 6 deadlifts, and then the workout. It was at MGW MetCon, Monostructural Gymnastics Weightlifting. The name of the workout was Mother-in-Law's Dish Rag. I always try to put some sort of name that's often funny to kind of attach to the workout because A, it just gives people something for people to talk about, try to figure out where the name came from. But then B, it's something where it's a lot more recognizable if you give it a name, where if you go to retest it, where it's like 975 of, you know, ring muscle up squat snatch like we're going to do on Tuesday, it's like, okay, that doesn't really stand out. But if you say Amanda, people know what you're talking about. And it's a similar thing here. I will try to put an asterisk and put like compare to, and then the date of whatever we did as the last time we tested it, if it's something that we're redoing. And I try to do that in about a frequency of once per week where we're having something that we've already done before or touched on, allowing people to compare if there's someone who's tracking their scores. So Mother-in-Law's Dish Rag, as many rounds as possible in 9 minutes, an ascending rep scheme, so 3, 6, 9, 12, etc., of sumo deadlifts, high pulls, 95 for males, 65 for females, and hand release push-ups. After each round, athletes complete 35 double unders. So 3 sumo deadlifts, high pull, 3 hand release push-up, 35 double under, 6, 6, 35, 9, 9, 35, etc. for 9 minutes. The sumo deadlift high pull weight was pretty light, 95 for males, 65 for females, just allowing people to sustain a pretty high turnover. And knowing that the upper body endurance is probably going to be the main limiter in a workout like that, not letting the timed domain get out of hand. So keeping it on the shorter end, something like 9 minutes is probably appropriate there. And then sometimes as I'm actually writing the lesson plans for class, I realize that we have a little bit of extra time and it's not just enough where you could like flush or do some stretching or something. In this case, I thought it would be a good opportunity to work on midline and just some like accessories. So it was a 12-minute rotating EMOM. Minute one was a 30-second hollow hold. Minute two was 30 seconds of banded lat rows. And three was 30 seconds of a hanging tuck hold. So again, midline, joint health, that sort of thing. Tuesday, once again, we started off with a rotating EMOM. In this case, it was 16 minutes, and you're going through four different stations. The first one being 20 seconds of a kettlebell hang snatch with your first arm. Second minute, you switch to your other arm. Again, 20 seconds. Third minute, you're doing one Turkish get-up back to your first arm. And then minute four, you're going to your other arm for that Turkish get-up, once again, a single. So up to this point in the cycle, we did either done barbell snatch or a barbell jerk from the rack. So this is the first time that we're doing anything other than a barbell for our like strength quality focus work, simply because we have what I wanted to test next, which was Amanda, as I alluded to before. So Amanda, benchmark workout, girl wad, 4x, 9 ring muscle up, 9 squat snatch, 7 ring muscle up, 7 squat snatch, 5 ring muscle up, 5 squat snatch, RX weight being 135 for males, 95 for females. Full disclosure, our population here at the gym is pretty average in terms of like if you would walk into most affiliates across the world, what you'd see. And a lot of our members, like other places, don't have muscle ups. So I would say the vast majority of people who were doing this workout were either scaling the snatch or they were scaling the ring muscle up variation. In this case, we went back to a hanging gymnastics variation that was challenging for them. If people had bar muscle ups but they don't have ring muscle ups, they could do that. If people have chest to bar, they could do that. If people are doing just a regular old kipping pull-up, that was okay too. And then if people didn't have great positions for a squat snatch, being able to catch below parallel, especially as they get fatigued, we allowed them to power snatch and then overhead squat. So obviously that's going to change the stimulus of the workout a little bit. And then as like a programmer, as you're writing a piece like this, you just need to understand that like for the average person who's doing this, they're not going to be like exhausted, like laying on the floor after a piece like that, just because even though the movements are high power output, they can't sustain those movements for any length of time because the proficiency isn't there. So you just need to realize that like it's not going to feel like Amanda when a high level athlete does Amanda. It's just going to be a little bit of different stimulus. And again, because I know that a lot of people are going to be struggling with the actual skills of the movements or the range of motion requirements for something like a squat snatch, that, you know, it's just a challenging movement. Giving people ample opportunities to get warm before that with something like a hang, you know, kettlebell hang snatch and Turkish get ups to move the shoulder through a large range of motion is only going to prepare them to actually get into their deep end ranges, because the older people get, the more time they need to get warm. And it's a great opportunity to not only get warm, but also like facilitate a lot of the other qualities that we're looking to get. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, started off with their strength work once again on the clock every 2.5 minutes times 6 sets. 4 back squats with a 2 second lower and 6 goblet reverse lunges, 53 for males, 35 for females. So originally this was just going to be back squats with no goblet reverse lunge, but I as I was writing the intervals for the second part, I realized that I wanted to include a front rack reverse lunge as part of that. So I wanted to prepare people for that. I didn't have a bunch of time left in the lesson plan to add in rehearsals and additional movement prep for lunging specifically. So what I did was just added a little bit of prep work essentially into the strength work. And I'll do that on occasion. So that was the strength work. And then the actual intervals here was basically midline focused and then like some fatigued strength capacity stuff after that. So it was a 2.5 minute AMRAP repeated 3 times, resting 2.5 between. So 1-to-1 work rest. The workout itself was 20 ab mat sit-ups, 2 wall walks, 10 ab mat sit-ups, 1 wall walk, and then max front rack reverse lunges, 115 for males, 85 for females. The actual workout was 20 ab mat sit-ups, 2 wall walks, 10 ab mat sit-ups, 1 wall walk, and then max reverse lunges in the remaining time, 115 for males, 85 for females. Those reverse lunges, they could be held in the front rack or back rack. I let people choose, up to them. And again, really the whole point of this was like fatiguing the midline and to really challenge the wall walks. You're doing the sit-ups first, then going into wall walks is only 2 of them. But again, for our population, any amount of wall walks certainly can be challenging. Back to 10 more sit-ups to 1 wall walk. Again, really just putting a lot of tax onto the midline. And then reverse lunge, regardless of what variation you have, with having that moderate loading and some respiratory fatigue build up, it's going to challenge that movement quite a bit. So as I said, that was 2.5 minutes to get through that. Basically, everybody had at least 30 seconds to do the reverse lunges, which was sort of the goal of that. We did have a few athletes who's kind of scaled up to a GHD setup, which I'm totally fine with, but I don't always write that as like an RX option. Sometimes I'll give that as like an RX plus, for example. Didn't hear, but I'm perfectly fine with people doing that if they're capable and tolerant of that movement. So again, 2.5 minutes on, 2.5 minutes off, 3 times. And the one thing that we did have was that people jumped onto the air bikes during their rest period. So I was recovering on the air bike between those sets. So that was Wednesday. Thursday, again, this is our lower day. Blended cyclical and some like joint health or like pump work on this day. Starting off was a rotating EMOM 15 minutes. Minute 1 was rowing at an easy pace. Immediately into minute 2, rowing at a strong pace. Minute 3 was rest. So basically easy, strong, rest, easy, strong, rest, 5 times through on the minute, changing each of those. And then after a short rest, they did the exact same thing on the air bike. And then after that was basically pump work or accessory work, 3 to 4 rounds, 10 dumbbell concentration curls per arm, and 10 diamond push-ups. And then Friday was the open workout, 24.2, which was a 20-minute AMRAP, 300-meter row, 10 deadlifts, 185, 125, and 50 double-unders. So the morning classes ran as usual, and we basically just use the warm-up that we provide to everyone as the structure for the lesson plan. And then the evening classes were scrapped during the open. Instead, we have Friday Night Lights, which is essentially just running people through heats of the workout. And each time we've had different themes for the workout. In this case, it was Welcome to the Jungle, which apparently a lot of people took as like 80s hair band versus like, you know, dressing up as, you know, lions and tigers and things like that. So it was a ton of fun, obviously a good opportunity to build some community and also just an opportunity to throw down, really see where their fitness is at. And then on Saturday, we had partner Coddle Waddle. Coddle Waddle was a named workout from the name game from Zor Fitness. So once in a while, I will kind of grab one of those workouts that we do for individual athletes on Saturday and we'll kind of tailor it to a partner workout for our class environment. This was originally kettlebell deadlifts and shuttle runs. And then after seeing what the open workout was, I modified that from kettlebell deadlifts to a kettlebell squat, basically like a dumbbell squat where you can kind of hold it wherever you want. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a true front rack. You can kind of like work those dumbbells in along the sides of your neck and kind of like get it kind of comfortable. And that was an exchange for obviously those kettlebell deadlifts because we had so many deadlifts on Friday, like a lot of people doing between, you know, 70 and 90, you know, relatively moderate deadlifts, not super heavy, but still not wanting to hinge again. So the workout was 70, 50, 30 kettlebell squats, 70 per hand for males, 53 per hand for females, and 30 shuttle runs of 2 lengths of 25 feet being 1 rep. And the one thing with the shuttle runs was you could break the squats however you wanted to between you and your partner. So like one person working at a time, but just splitting the reps. But when we actually went to do the shuttle runs, people were alternating reps. So one person would wait. It was essentially you go, I go. So one person would run down and back, tag out with a partner. They'd run down and back. So very little rest in between each of those reps. And this was all on a 30-minute clock. So obviously part one was the Metcon time. And then part two was finding a one rep max strict chin over bar pull-up. So obviously if someone has the capability of at least doing a pull-up with their body weight, that was the goal, is for them to do that. Well, obviously we have members who can't do strict pull-ups yet, so we're getting them onto the lat pull-down machine and getting them to still find a one rep max lat pull-down in this case, right? So still having an incremental improvement and trying to figure out where they're at on that particular day. So there you go. That was a week of programming at Lumber Capital Athletics. Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.